This is The Bloom Pod, and I'm Taylor Onion.
And I'm Melissa Lutz.
Each week, we bring you an interview with an everyday person who is chasing big dreams. I interview the guests for the first part of the show, and then Melissa and I get together and recap the main points together.
With the occasional shenanigan.
Please enjoy this week's guest. Okay, awesome. Well, Juliana, I am so excited to have you on. I actually, I came across you from a former teammate and actually a former guest on the podcast on her Instagram. She had either bought something that you had made or tagged you in something. I can't even remember what it was, but that is what prompted me to reach out and see if we could get you on here. So I'm gonna hand it over to you at this point and have you kind of walk through your background and experiences and tell us how you got started baking and with all the fun things that you're doing.
Sure. So my name is Juliana, and I've been baking for about 5 years. So it's still pretty new to me. I'm still trying to get used to it. It just started out of my house. I was in Seattle, and my husband actually was away for a little bit, and I was kind of lonely, and I didn't have too much friends at that new city. So I was trying to get acclimated and all that stuff. And I did to find something to fill my time. I mean, there's so much TV you could watch. I mean, TV is entertaining, but after a while, it just kind of goes away.
Right. Only so much binging. Only so much binging.
Yeah. So one night I was just like really down and I needed some sugar. So I'm like, oh, I'll just make some cupcake, you know? I mean, it'll make me feel a little better. I mean, sugar always makes me feel better. So it started out as that. And then I made a strawberry cupcake. And I don't know why, but for me, it tasted so good. It was a random like Google recipe that I found online. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. And it's nothing like I could buy on the store or anything like that. So that kind of started the ball rolling. And I started making flans and like cakes and just random little things I find on Instagram, Facebook, wherever I see it. And it just became a snowball effect. It started as like once every 2 weeks, and it became once every week and a half, and then a week. And it just, actually at one time, I think I almost baked once every day. So it just, I mean, I'm not that crazy anymore, but back in the day, I was just very interested in the whole science of making baked goods, and it was just so much fun for me. And that's how it started. And I would take it to my workplace, I would give it to my husband or my friends, and the reaction that I got from them was just like priceless. And that's how I started it. And I actually fell in love with the baking so much that I thought about switching my career.
Wow.
Because it just made me happy being in the kitchen. So I signed up for a culinary school. I was there for a semester, but I realized that wasn't a good fit. So you could call me a dropout, I guess. but with the funds that I saved for the culinary school, I decided to travel around the world and go to the master classes that chefs are having. So it's about like 3 or 4 days, eight to nine hours long. So you are with them the whole time and seeing how they create their, I guess, amazing baked goods. And it was really exciting. I think that was probably the best like 4 months of my life because I got to travel and I got to see different cities. And on top of that, I got to do what I love. And I learned so much from all these chefs, and I would do anything to do it again, honestly. But that's where I picked up most of my technical skills and recipes that I could base off of. And once that went going, I just started posting whatever I have and just started having fun with it. And somebody recognized me on the Instagram, and that's how I ended up on the TV.
Wow, very cool. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite place or favorite chef that when you were going through all the master classes, do you have a favorite place that you were, or a favorite, maybe even skill that you learned?
One of the unique ones I did was with Jordi Bordas. He's in Spain, and he tries to challenge the culinary world without using sugars or without using gluten, without using different normal ingredients that we use in baking and trying to twist that a little bit. Okay. And that was very exciting. And it was one of my first classes I ever took, which I wish I hadn't. I wish it was a little later so I had all the basics down before I could challenge myself on that. Right. But it was very interesting to see the different ingredients that could replace egg or sugar or wheat or anything like that. So that was very exciting
for me. Interesting. Okay. And I should, you touched on it just a little bit, but we can't, you recently won something very exciting. We can't mention it explicitly on here due to some restrictions, but people can go to your Instagram and, or really they can Google your name and find out what it was we were talking about. But in doing my own Googling, I actually found that is not, baking is not your main job. So you're actually, or at the time, at least of this interview, you were in healthcare and working on a master's. Is that something that you're still pursuing?
Yes. So I'm quite busy right now. I do have a full-time job in healthcare. So I work in health insurance company called Humana, and I do product management. So managing different products that they sell. But on top of that, I am pretty passionate. I am very passionate about how healthcare system works in America. So I just wanted to get a better knowledge of that and understanding of what are the challenges and what are the issues that we're facing. So I decided to get my master's in health administration, which is like an MBA for healthcare. Okay. And I'm definitely enjoying that at George Washington University.
Very cool. So how, I mean, you picked definitely a great time to be working on any health related stuff. How have the last, I mean, really at this point, it's been over a year since the first case was found, but how has COVID impacted your studies and maybe even the projection of your career in the healthcare field?
I mean, it's more interesting now than before, even before. I mean, it was interesting before, but it's much more interesting now knowing that this COVID thing is just taking over everybody's lives, and how are we supposed to protect that? How are we going to get better? And trying to come up with solutions that will engage people. So it hasn't affected my job personally or my school because it's online classes, but it has gave me a good understanding of we really need to work on the system. So I think next couple of years will be very exciting to see what is coming ahead of us, but healthcare depends a lot on the politics to make sure that the regulations are all aligned and stuff like that. So I think more than what people recognize, I think the politician has a big decisions to make mm-hmm. for us to follow that and to cover a lot of health.
Absolutely. Do you, what I first should ask is how much time do you have left in your master's degree program?
I'm finishing this September. Ah, so I'm very excited.
Okay, that's awesome.
It has been a lot of hard work. But I'm ready to be done.
I'm sure. Now, what is the plan? That's what I was going to ask. What's the plan following graduation in September?
I don't think nothing much will change at this point. I would probably keep my job, hopefully. Right. I'll keep my job. And I have been doing a lot of, I've been planning a lot of collaboration. So after Christmas, I did a fundraiser and I sold my baked goods, which most people can't taste because I usually don't sell my baked goods at all. So selling that baked goods and raising money and giving it to charity was one of the things I did. And I'm hoping to do more of those moving forward. I absolutely love the community here and being able to help the small businesses as well as the nonprofit organizations that really need the funding is something I'm passionate about. So I'm hoping that I could do the same for after the graduation.
Just kind of continue on with what you've been doing. Now you are in Champaign now. Are you originally from Champaign?
No, I actually moved here 2.5 years ago when my husband actually got into medical school.
Okay.
So he's coming to an end in 1.5 years. So I am very curious to see where our future is going to take us. But before that, I was in Seattle and I was there for, how long was I there for? Like 5 years? And I absolutely love Seattle. It's like the prettiest city in the world.
I've heard great. I've never been, but I've heard great things.
Oh, you definitely need to go. It's absolutely amazing.
Nice.
And before that, I was in California. So West Coast person kind of getting into Central. So it's interesting to see the dynamics of people as well as the environment. And
yeah. Yes, there is a, I was going to say, when you mentioned that you had been in Seattle previously, that changed. Even just going from Seattle to Champaign, Illinois, yeah, it's a pretty drastic difference.
It was.
And I mentioned to you that Melissa, my sidekick for the podcast, she and I both went to the University of Illinois for our undergraduate experiences. And now both are I'm in Tampa, she's out in Denver, but to go from Seattle to back to Champaign, that would be a little bit of a trip in more ways than one.
Definitely will.
That's awesome. So I have to ask, do you also like to cook, or is it just baking that does it for you?
I like to say cooking is a necessity because we have to survive. But baking is more fun because it's an extra little thing that but usually don't get every day.
That's a good way to put it. I heard somebody mention once that cooking is a science and baking is more of an art. And I thought, what a great way to describe those two things, because when you're cooking, you do have to be, you know, and I'm sure there's a little bit of art to it as well, but I'm with you. Baking is much more fun to me than cooking is.
Yeah.
And I also saw, in an article that I read, on you, I think it was actually put out before you were able to be on TV, was mentioning that you started doing this, you know, as a hobby, obviously, and you touched on that, but that you only do it on the weekends. Does that still stand true?
Yes, I try. I mean, last couple, after I started school, it has been much harder to bake even on the weekends because the school homework and like trying to keep up with all the readings I have to do.
Right.
But I try very hard to do at least one bake a week on the weekend. But of course, sometimes it's just very simple, just like, oh, I want to eat that, so I'm going to make it. But most of the time I try to like really plan it out and see what I could do and get the recipes ready for the weekend. And then I'll execute it over the weekend.
Is that something you enjoy, or does it feel like extra, you know, work on top of your job and top of schoolwork?
That's only me time I get. So that is definitely something that I enjoy. I mean, I don't think I could do it that much if I didn't enjoy it. And I would love to share my passion with everyone, because I think once you get passionate about something, it doesn't matter how much time you have, you make time for it. And you make sure that you shift things around and make sure you make it fit into your schedule. And that's basically what I've been doing, and it's been working out. And I get all these kind of crazy inspiration from like grocery store. I know it sounds really lame, but I walk down the aisle and I'm like, oh my gosh, how would that fit into a cake? So yeah, it's pretty exciting to always be like, it's like kind of back of my mind. And like, what should I bake? But then like something pops up. I'm like, oh my God, I need to do that like right now.
Right.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like how my brain works, because I never have been passionate about anything before this. So I'm like really lucky that I was able to find
it. Yeah, that's fantastic. So I have to ask too, based on, I've of course looked through your Instagram and seen all the beautiful things that you have baked. Now, Instagram of course doesn't allow you to smell or taste. So when you're planning out your recipes, are you thinking, you know, okay, what can I make that's going to look really, really beautiful and also taste amazing? Or,
of course.
Okay, so you're going for both and not just based on, I think I want to make a chocolate cake this weekend.
I mean, because I don't do mass production, obviously, I only bake at home. So I get to put more time and effort into decoration than most bakeries could. I mean, there are some crazy bakeries out there. I'm just like, I don't know how you do that in mass production. But I mean, the main thing about food is that, of course, you want to see it first, but then you're going to smell it and you're going to have to eat it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's something that's edible. So making sure that flavor is all there and making sure that it's all balanced is like probably the challenging thing. And I'm so sorry for everyone. You guys could see it, but you guys can't taste it. I wish I could share all that with you guys, but I think most people would like it. The only thing is that people don't understand. I fail too. There's things that I don't put on Instagram and everybody's like, oh, you're so talented, you're so good at it. But like, you don't see the stuff that's in the trash right now. Like, I dumped it because I completely failed. And going over the hurdle made me much better. And of course, there was a lot of dollar signs that went into the trash can. But, right. Yeah, I think through the process, I was able to improve a lot.
Nice. That's very cool. Do you, I'm seeing behind you some baking and cooking items. Do you have a favorite or like a go-to? Like what's one baking appliance that you besides an oven probably, that you absolutely, yeah. You know, can't live without?
I mean, you see my two babies right
now. I
there.
Do, yeah.
I don't know what I would do without them, because I mean, you could whisk it by hand or you can mix it by hand, but they make that process so much easier. And baking is about whisking and mixing. So I mean, a mixer is the best thing you could probably invest in. I think there are used ones and all that different price ranges. I mean, you don't need the best items just to get started. I started with a hand mixer, honestly, just like holding it. But yeah, I think they are the best investment that I ever made.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so I'm going to move into, actually, I do have one question before we move into the question that is the namesake, so to speak, of the show. And I wanted to ask, where do you hope this goes? And if you were, you know, are you hoping at some point for storefront, or are you hoping, I'm going to just keep doing this as a hobby or for fun and to show, you know, to share this with other people? What's the plan for the future?
That's $1 million question that everybody's been asking. First off, I know for sure that I will not be opening a store anytime soon. Because with my husband's job, we're moving around a lot and we just don't know where we're going to be next. So I think committing to a store is a big thing for us that I can't do as of this point in my life. Maybe in the future, I'm not sure yet. I still have to fill it out. But in short term, I would love to, when this COVID things die down a little bit, I would love to do some baking classes and share my passion with them and really get them into the kitchen and see what I could do and what they could do. And they might be really surprised what they were able to do. So that's one thing I definitely want to do, but I also want to partner with different local restaurants or bakeries to kind of spread the word of my baking goods and see if that will help them bring in more business into their stores as well. So that might be another project that I'll be working on. The other thing, probably in the far future, I would love to go into consulting and be around the kitchen without having to bake all the stuff myself. Right. So that might be another thing that I'm looking into.
Okay, very cool. All right, so as promised, this next question is the how we got to the namesake of the show. So what is one experience or maybe a series of experiences that you have had that you feel like has helped you bloom into the person that you are today?
I think everybody around me, just everyone I associate with, have made me into who I am today. And the support that they were able to give me while I was trying to grow as a baker has been tremendous. I mean, I can't thank them enough, not just like trying and just enjoying what I love and what I eat, but the feedback they gave me and made me better as a baker. So everybody that has eaten my goods and gave me my feedback has been definitely blew me into who I am today.
Is there a piece of advice or a piece of feedback that stands out to you as really, really significant, you know, during this process?
Just keep going. A lot of people said, I know this didn't taste that great, but just keep going, just try again. And that just kept me going and making sure that I don't give up in the middle, because there were times that, I mean, let me tell you, when I was trying to make the macaron, like when I first starting out, I threw away about thousands of macarons because I failed so much.
Wow.
But the people around me actually looked at it and be like, yeah, that's not kind of not great. But I think it's getting better than the last one. So you should keep going at it. Try just different recipes and try asking for advice from different chefs around Instagram. And you'll be surprised, a lot of them do respond with an answer. So the kind of push that they gave me has definitely shaped me. And if anybody is going into baking, they should definitely never give up, because it is doable. It's not something that is rocket science. It is doable, and you could improve in it.
Awesome. That is awesome. That makes me, gives me a little bit of inspiration to try my hand here. I'll probably just stick to the basics though. Okay. So this is the kind of final phase of the show and what we do. This is the quick peel round. It's what we call it. So what we'll have is kind of four this or that questions. And then the final one will be a fill in the blank question.
Okay.
Here we go. So first one, this is kind of an obvious one here. What is your favorite thing to bake?
Cake.
Awesome. That makes sense. That's probably the namesake of your Instagram, right? Caked Up Journey.
Yes.
Awesome. What is your favorite, do you have a favorite TV show that you like to binge watch?
I actually don't have TV at home.
Really?
So, I mean, I do have a TV, but I don't have cable or any streaming service. I did have streaming service while I was on the TV because I wanted to see what I was like. But no, I actually don't have time for TV. So
that's fair. That's fair. Baking is your binge watching, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one. This is I'm really excited to hear the answer to this question.
Oh, man.
Do you prefer whipped icing or buttercream icing?
Buttercream icing
all the way,
100%,
all the way,
because you could do, I mean, the flavor of butter is just one of my favorite, and you could do so much with it.
Yeah.
I mean, the whipped icing just doesn't give the strength to pipe flowers or make it into little shapes, but buttercream does. So the flavor's there and you could do so much with it, so definitely buttercream.
I have to ask now, you just prompted me to for a new question here. When okay. When you're piping flowers, I mean, of course, you have to have some kind of a plan, I assume, beforehand. You don't just kind of freestyle flowers, right?
Well, you can make it into whatever you want.
Is there like a flower design that's easier than others to pipe?
Definitely. I'm trying to think what is my... I mean, rose is very basic. So whatever color you can make it into any color you want, because there's so many colors of roses. So that's one thing I do. And that's what most people start with when they start piping. So that's probably easy, but it gets really complicated when it goes to peonies or like flowers with a lot of leaves. It's a little complicated. So I try to stay away from those.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Fourth question here is, do you have a favorite restaurant in Champaign?
Oh man, you're going to put me on the spot here.
I am. I'm curious to know.
I actually love Thai food. So I go to Siam Terrace a lot.
Okay, very nice.
Have you been there? It's an Urbana side.
Say it again.
Urbana.
It's on Urbana, the Urbana side. I know the name and I've been past it, but I don't think we ever ate there while I was in college, sadly. Uh-huh. But next time I'm in Champaign, I'm checking it out.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay. Last one. This is the fill in the blank. It is onions are blank.
Onions are scary. They make me cry every time.
Onions are scary. That is the first time that I've gotten that answer. That is fantastic. Awesome. Well, Juliana, thank you so much for joining us on the Bloom Pod today. Like I said, we can't reference the very exciting thing that you recently won, but people can check out your Instagram. It's Caked Up Journey. They can Google you and find out what we were alluding to today. but again, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for the recap of this episode with my sidekick, Melissa Lutz. I would like to start off by saying that this is the 30th episode of the Bloom Pod.
Hey, neat.
It's just like us, 30 years old.
Wow. And next week it won't be like us.
Nope. Well, next week is a break week, but week after that, it won't be like us.
Okay, fair enough.
Except that it will still be in its 30s.
Wow. Good job. Try to keep it relevant. Hey, I like your coffee mug.
Hey, thanks. You bought this for me.
I know I did. Do you want to tell the people listening what's on it?
It is a beautiful artistic piece of what I would like to call a modern day Mona Lisa, only her face is not Mona Lisa. It is Ron Swanson, aka Nick Offerman of Parks and Rec fame.
Classic.
It is my favorite coffee mug.
Oh, thanks. It's mine too. I'm all about the funny mugs.
I agree. I used to have it at work and people would comment on it all the time. And then, you know, the pandemic hit and I thought, I need to bring this home.
You can still enjoy it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
When I worked at my job in Chicago, I always said, like, sure, I hope you all remember me for my work ethic and the quality of stuff that I provided here. But mostly I want to be remembered as the funny mug lady.
I think that's a nice way to remember someone.
Thanks. I had that Mona Lisa Ron Swanson mug and also a Lionel Richie one that said, hello, is it tea you're looking for?
Ah.
I thought that was good.
That is a good one. Well played.
Well, thank you.
Played. Juliana Jung is...
Juliana Jung.
I would say one of our most... what's the word I want to use? I want to say one of our most exciting guests to date because of her recent accomplishment, which we are not allowed to discuss on the air.
It's torture, man. I just want to talk about it.
I know.
She's done some really cool things, and one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
We're not even allowed to say.
It was a little bit torture not being able to discuss during the interview, but if you have not already, I highly suggest hopping over to her Instagram page, which is Caked Up Journey, and the link is in the episode description. And you can find out exactly what we are discussing. And you can also view more beautiful baked goods.
Yes, I just got lost in her Instagram. Taylor said, can we please start recording? And I had just... stumbled upon, well, I directly Googled her Instagram and got lost.
I accidentally typed her name into the search bar and found her.
And intentionally looked up her Instagram. but I got lost in the beauty of all of her creations. You guys should all do yourselves a favor and look up her Instagram and check out those delectable treats she's baking up.
You know, one thing that I didn't ask her was if there's some sort of a studio that she takes the pictures on, or if that's just her countertops.
She must have big picture frame windows.
Yes, that allow lots of natural lighting. Light. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are run-of-the-mill in Champagne.
Are they?
I don't know.
They weren't where I lived.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of natural light in apartment 15.
We were poor college students, just, you know, scraping by, but having a great time.
I'm trying to think, was there even a window in, I think there was a window in my room. Was there a window in your room? I just remember it being very dark back there.
It was very dark back there. I had one window, but it was like in the corner by the closet, you know? Didn't provide a whole lot of light, but.
Man, nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Speaking of, do you think that Juliana's out at Brothers and Joe's on weekend nights tearing up the dance floors?
I don't know. I would say in the pandemic, probably not. But I would be curious to know if she has frequented any of our formerly favorite locations.
So just us then.
Right. More nostalgia.
She's probably getting a much different experience of Champagne Urbana than you and I did in our college days. Mm-hmm. She seems to really have it together between the baking, winning competitions in that field, and also in the medical world. And her husband is in med school. Like, talk about a power couple.
Right. Go team. Go team. One thing, the first note, and I have healthcare notes on there too, but the first note that I have was that she was saying, you know, I guess you could call me a dropout from culinary school because she went for just, I don't even know if it was for a year or what it was. I can't remember what she said. But as I was listening back to the episode, the interview this morning, the song Beauty School Dropout popped into my head. But culinary school. Culinary school dropout.
Culinary. I say culinary. Oh. Am I uncultured?
Here we go again with you second guessing my vocabulary.
I just had this revelation that maybe I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
We're gonna find out. And are you receiving a phone call at this time?
No. Yes, I am. I'm so sorry. It's on vibrate. Can you hear that?
I could, yeah.
Wow, I that's sure impressive.
Could. Okay. Pronunciation. I hope that, oh yes, here we go. How do I do this?
Culinary.
Damn it. What if she goes slow?
Culinary.
Yep, nope, I am wrong. It is culinary school.
I didn't mean to call you out on that, but if the listeners could see my face, it was a deep in thought face of like, have I been saying culinary? Have I been saying that wrong?
This is what happens though every single time when it was like, because even when it, what was the last word? Felicitous. And felicitous. You were like, felicitous? Is that a word?
I think what we can, the conclusion we can draw here is that I'm not confident on my vocabulary or other people's for that matter.
And
I rely heavily on Google.
And that I am overly confident in my vocabulary.
Are you also overly confident in your culinary skills?
I am not overly confident in my culinary skills.
Yeah, you were just telling me about how you burnt your breakfast.
I sure did. I sure did. The whole house smells like burned bacon, and I even burnt my eggs, I am ashamed to say.
Were you distracted by the burnt bacon?
Slightly. I also ran out of paper towels and I needed them. So I was thinking about the paper towels during that time because I like to, you know, how would you say it? Sop up the bacon grease.
Huh?
Once the bacon is done. But I was so confused why the bacon is burned that I was like inspecting the pan. And I'm like, was there grease left in here from the last time? And I think that it scorched it on the front end, which led to burning the bacon, which then led to burning the eggs.
Rough start to your day. Have things picked up since then?
They have, because I'm drinking coffee and talking to you.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I am still on my no caffeine. So,
ooh, yes.
And again, apologies. I did drink some mushroom tea with some collagen and MCT.
Interesting.
So that's supposed to give you brain power.
Do you know what I realized in listening back to the episodes from the last couple of weeks is that the recap, because we recorded them out of order, people were probably confused because 2 weeks ago you had said, because we did them out of order. So 2 weeks ago you had said that you were starting this journey. You can't drink coffee anymore. But then on this past week, it was like, I'm drinking coffee and I need more of it. And now this week, back to no coffee.
Yes. Sorry to keep y'all on your toes. I know you've been very concerned about my caffeine journey and whether or not I'm sticking to this elimination diet.
You're
assured. I have been now 10 days strong. No caffeine.
I'm thinking,
and amongst many other things.
This is a great segue, and we already talked about Instagram a little bit, but when you said your caffeine journey, her Instagram is caked up journey.
Yes.
So would you consider starting an Instagram to explicitly document your no caffeine journey?
Do people want to see a lot of bags under eyes and grumpy faces? Because I can if that's the case.
And also mushroom tea. I would be interested in seeing mushroom tea.
Yeah, it's lion's mane and chaga. And then,
I'm sorry, did you say lion's mane?
Yeah, it's a mushroom.
Oh,
really good. Both are really good for like your general health and digestion, and also like focus.
Interesting. And
brain power.
I have just exposed my knowledge of mushrooms by questioning you about the lion's mane. And now at this time, I would like to share a mushroom joke that I heard on Instagram the other day. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I did not see this coming, and I'm gleeful in anticipation.
I hope I don't mess it up. I'm going to try and remember it. So the mushroom walks into the bar, and then the bartender says, "Hey man, we don't serve mushrooms here." And the mushroom says, "Come on, I'm a fun guy."
That's a good one, Tay.
Thanks.
Who knew that this conversation would lead you to tell a mushroom joke?
Not me. I didn't know till I was doing it.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay, so back to Juliana. I love that she bakes for like donations and gives that money back to nonprofits and people in need. Like that makes my heart sing.
I know.
My grandma says, but it does make my heart sing.
At first I thought you said sink, and I was like, that doesn't sound comfortable.
Sing.
No, yeah, I got you now. I was
okay, great. You go.
I was just gonna say, I was shocked to hear and to read before, when I was doing my research for the interview, that she only does this on the weekends, and that in fact she does not own a bakery. Because when I first stumbled upon her baked goods via Instagram, I thought, wow, what a cool place in Champaign. I wonder where this is located. And then to start the interview and have her say like, oh no, I don't have the time for a storefront. I'm like, what? And you won the championship contest that you did? Remarkable.
I thought you were going to give it away. Mm-mm. Did you see my eyes get really big?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is remarkable. Like, it made me think about like my passions and your passions. Do we have anything like that in our lives that we care so much about and are so dedicated to, that like we get you use all our free time doing it, but never ever make a penny off of it?
This podcast.
Hey.
Hopefully someday
we'll get a sponsor.
That's right. We have been fishing now for 30 episodes.
No one has bitten.
Right.
Well, I gave you a pretty solid offer generous.
You did. We did have some ads running for some time.
Yes.
Christmas time, which was just more of a collaboration than, you know, a true sponsorship. But that's okay. One day.
I have only the fondest memories of recording those advertisements with you. And I feel like I want to let the listeners in, not fully on the details of what I divulged in that moment, but there was one time we were recording an advertisement that I didn't know we were doing an advertisement. And I thought Taylor was just asking me a question. Mm-hmm. About, I don't remember what it was, but what was the question?
I said, hey, Melissa, have you ever had an experience where you just had a bad smell stuck in your nose?
Yes. And then I divulged some weird information. And Taylor started cracking up, and she was like, Melissa, this is supposed to be an advertisement for the candles.
Yes. It had to do with dogs.
Dog farts. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to keep rolling on the advertisement because I thought that you knew what I was doing.
And I was okay with sharing that with the world.
Yeah, I thought you were, but turns out you didn't know what I was doing. So lesson learned.
I was very confused. So here's a little BTS, that's short for behind the scenes of mine and Taylor's advertisement recording.
What else could BTS be short for?
Bacon that slaps.
Bacon that slaps. I was gonna say banana tree, son.
Interesting. Banana trees. We weren't even talking about bananas.
That was the first B word that came to my mind.
Okay. I can't think of any more.
No.
I'm stuck on bacon that slaps.
We did this on a recent episode. Oh, it was Alexander Martin with his ABC plan, CBA plan.
Oh, yes.
We said something ahoy.
College basketball arena.
College basketball arena. Coconut. I don't know.
Go give it a listen, people.
Yeah. If you remember, I do actually... whatever we said, something ahoy, our assistant, she texted me after she listened to the episode in all caps with that phrase, but I can't remember what it was now. It's sad.
That's amazing.
I know.
It also reminds me of, here's another behind the scenes that has nothing to do with the podcast. When I'm in the car, I play a game with myself, because all the license plates in Colorado are three letters and three numbers. And I try and make an acronym out of the three letters. And that's how I entertain myself while I'm driving. I like that.
Is that how you miss so many of your exits?
I wish I could attribute that to the game, but nope, that's just my own spacey ways.
Just me. Oh boy.
Oh man.
The second note that I have, which is not related to anything we've just been discussing, but was that I found it so interesting that I feel like baking and the healthcare system are two drastically opposite interests. And so the fact that she does this as a side hustle and has had so much success with it, and then also is a student of public health and works in the healthcare field and can also say, yeah, this is how I think COVID might impact the future and the system is broken and all these different things, was super fascinating.
Yeah, I feel like she's a very smart lady.
Yes. I
want to be in her brain.
I concur. I would just like to be in her kitchen tasting her baked
food. Was what I was just going to segue into, and not segue, just harshly transition into. How does she have the self-control not to just eat all of those amazingly delicious things she makes? I would be a million pounds. I had a chocolate bar in the house for 7 minutes and it was gone.
Yep.
You know?
Like, yeah.
I can't have things in the house, especially when they look as beautiful as her treats do.
Right. Maybe that's how she does it, because they look so beautiful that she's like, well, I could eat that, but it looks so beautiful.
And she knows the amount of work that went into it.
Right.
You know, she did say that she welcomes feedback, and I would like to put it out there, Juliana, that if you need additional feedback, I'm here for you to sample your delectable treats and let you know what I think.
Please ship all treats to Denver, Colorado.
Yes, please.
I was going to say two things. One of them had to do with Bridesmaids and Cake Baby. And the scene
where
she goes through so much trouble to make one single cupcake. And if that's what it's like, but then she ate it in the movie.
She was troubled.
Oh, I know. The other thing that I was going to say, I made brownies within the past couple of days. And every time that I make brownies, I think of apartment 15 and one time specifically where we made brownies, I believe chocolate frosted brownies, and they were gone within a matter of hours. I mean, there were four of us there, and they would be like, oh, I'm going to have one. And they would come back to the living room. Oh, I'll have it. Does anyone else want one? And then they were gone so fast.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm actually surprised more so that they lasted a couple hours.
Right.
We didn't just take forks straight to the pan and clean house.
I think that's what we were doing.
Ah.
I think it started out with one single, or maybe two single brownies. And then I think we were just like, man, just bring the pan in here and a few forks.
My phone again. Very popular lady with the scammers today. Tate, do you also love grocery shopping?
I wouldn't say that I love it. I would say that I do it.
That's good. Food is important.
I do shop for groceries, so I will admit.
Okay. I just really love the grocery store. And so I could really relate with her when she was talking about like enjoying walking up and down the aisles and being like, how could I incorporate that in a dish? Do you call it a dish? You don't call it a dish.
In a
recipe.
Recipe. Yeah.
But I love that too. Like I don't usually follow recipes when I cook, and I like to just like go to the grocery store and be like, I wonder if these things will taste good together. Let's find out. It's really fun.
I have found that if I do not have a plan going into the grocery store, things turn out very badly for me, and in particular, my wallet.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to get carried away, especially if you're just wandering up and down the aisles.
Yep. And especially if you're hungry, as I was yesterday afternoon when I bought Pringles and chips and salsa and some candy bars and several other things, which I will not name. I did have the self-control to put back the cookie cake that I had put in my cart when I first got to the store.
You should have just cracked that baby open and had a nice little grocery shopping snack for some sustenance.
True. I had it. I put it in the cart and then I was like, Taylor, you just made brownies. Put this back. And then I did.
Wow. Look at you. Self-control.
Self-control.
Very impressed.
Or something like it.
And you rewarded yourself for your self-control with some candy bars.
That's right. That is right. With specifically some Milk Duds and more brownies.
Ooh.
I also appreciated that she said, when I asked, you know, do you also like to cook? And she said, cooking is really just a necessity because we have to eat regular food. I thought that was a great... I can't decide if I fully agree because I like to eat all the foods.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love desserts.
I like cooking. I actually don't love baking.
Really?
I like the decorating part and like making it look pretty. But something about just like, well, I'm not Juliana and I have to follow recipes. Like she went to culinary school and just knows these things off the top of her head.
I think it's pronounced culinary.
Shoot. Thanks for keeping me in check, Tay. But like for me, it just ends up in me following a recipe line by line. Mm. And that's less fun for me. Like cooking and baking, I like the creative aspect of it. So I like the decorating part of baking. And for cooking, just like throwing things together.
Interesting. I'm trying to decide where I would land in that. Because I think I like baking because it's easier and then you just eat it really fast.
You like the eating part.
Yeah. I like the consumption of both baked goods and meals. I think we can agree on that. I especially like it when someone else does it for me and I don't have to think about it.
That's true. It is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of my passions is cooking.
I will say that cooking is a great like release at the end of the workday because you get to think about what you're doing. You're creating something with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good, yeah. I like cooking, but if I had the choice for someone to cook for me or do it myself, preferably while I'm sitting on the couch with a glass of wine or let's even turn it up a notch. I'll be sitting on the beach with a glass of wine and someone says, Madame, dinner is served.
Man, this podcast is really making me hate the fact that I'm on this elimination diet because I can't do sugar and I can't do alcohol or caffeine or a million other things.
Gosh.
And now all I want to do is shove a donut in my mouth and then wash it down with a glass of wine.
Mm, mm-hmm. And at what point in your diet can you do that?
Me thinks never. I think gluten is never a thing I'm going to be able to reintroduce.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Alcohol. I don't know when you reintroduce it back.
You have more self-control than I.
Well, when you don't feel good, you got to do what you got to do, you know?
That is fair. That is fair. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
The last two items... the last two notes that I have on my list were number one, that buttercream icing is better than whipped. I'm curious to know if you agree.
Wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
Anything with a lot of butter in it, big fan.
Right.
Big
fan. I had not thought I'm going to really expose myself here. I had not thought about that until when I asked the question, she was like, I mean, butter is like my favorite thing. So of course, buttercream. And I don't know that I put together that buttercream icing is like mostly butter. Mm. I don't know what I thought it was.
Erase it from your memory because you will enjoy it a lot more without that knowledge.
You know, people say that all the time about weird foods like, you know, hot dogs or mayonnaise or whatever. And I still eat them. I know I have a rough idea of what's happening there and I'd still eat them anyway.
Okay. I just meant, you know, for health benefits, like you might start to limit yourself on the buttercream frosting if you know it's mostly butter, but sometimes you just got to live your life.
Are you suggesting that I should stop eating it out of the jar?
Never.
Okay.
I'm encouraging it.
It is really best that way, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then the last note that I had was from the fill in the blank question when she said that onions are scary.
I love when we get a genuinely honest answer from people.
I know. It my reaction, I don't know if I did a silent laugh or if you can hear me laughing loud, but man, when she said that, it caught me so off guard. I was cracking up.
You've scared me a few times.
Have I?
Like intentionally, like, you know, boop.
Oh. I thought you meant like just... You are alarming.
No. Tater, I love you.
Hooray. Oh, I love you too.
Thank you. last note I have is
I like that you pointed at yourself. Can I just say when I didn't say it back right away, your eyes got really big and you just pointed like, hello.
It's nice to be loved, okay?
It is. Everybody should be loved or feel loved.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, speaking of feeling loved, shameless plug for my business partner's new book that just came out 2 days ago. Alone in Plain Sight by Ben Higgins is a book about feeling alone and how to find like connection with others and how everyone should feel loved.
I saw that was released and I thought, how very exciting. I would like to read it. Do you think Ben would want to come on the podcast and discuss his book release?
You know, I can sure ask him.
I think you should.
Then I shall.
Okay. As you were saying that you wanted to plug, when you first said speaking of love, I thought you were going to do something related to Valentine's Day, which of course is right around the corner. And noting that, I would also like to plug something, and it's Fire and Ash Candle, which has Valentine's Day exclusive labels. The regular labels are also still available, but if you go to Fire and Ash, you can check out all the fun things that are on there. And some of them are really exciting.
So check it out. And if you have a problem with stinky dog farts, we'll cover it right up.
Fire and Ash Candle. You know what I want to say really and truly about Fire and Ash Candles and their ability to cover up stinky dog farts or anything else is that these candles are so fragrant that they do not even need to be lit to make the place smell wonderful.
Wow.
Yep. There are some really great, really great labels that she came up with. And some of them are nice and lovey-dovey, like, you know, love is love and that is all. And then there's things, this would really cracked me up. The first picture that's on the post says, my love is like a candle. If you forget me, I'll burn your whole house down.
That's a good one.
I know. Very exciting.
The last one I had for Juliana is her advice to just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that. I think it's so simple, but a really great reminder that, like, I think a lot of us in life run into roadblocks and redirect our focus, right? Like, we're just like, all right, well, what else could I do instead?
Mm-hmm.
But powering through that and finding a way to still accomplish what you want to accomplish will make it that much more rewarding in the end. because things do get hard and life is fast paced. I think it's easy for us to just like lose sight of whatever that goal is because we're go, go, go all the time and we've hit a roadblock. So we're just going to shift our focus elsewhere. So you go, Juliana. You just kept going.
Just keep going. Keep blooming.
Keep on a blooming.
Keep on keeping on. I wish I had a song to go along with that. Sadly, I do not.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
And I keep on blooming. I think that's the words are actually rolling.
Blooming.
Blooming. Blooming, blooming on the river.
Doesn't quite have the same. Yeah, well, that's all I got. This is a great listen. Makes me want to take a trip back to our old stomping grounds in Champaign.
I know. I want to say really quickly before you sign us off that we have not thought about an idea for a new segment in quite a while. You remember for some time we were coming up with a new idea for a segment of the show, like every single recap. And I would like to reintroduce...
You have an idea?
I do. I would like to reintroduce that thought, and I would like to suggest that we have a segment where we take normal songs that everyone knows and we change the words to something related to bloom.
Okay. Okay. I'll work on that for next week. I don't have one readily available. I
2 weeks.
Just have my... No!
Every time.
Every time. I'm just going to miss you guys.
All right.
Okay. Well, tune in 2 weeks to listen to a beautiful blooming ditty.
I was expecting you to say, all right, well, and then go into it. But instead, you said that.
I'm still putting off saying goodbye. You know, I know. Don't like it.
Especially because it's a 2 week break. You're like, well, fine. Yeah. Then just fine. Tune in 2 weeks.
I'm going to linger here in your earbuds for as long as I can.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, here we go. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. Nope.
You're really throwing me off.
I'm so sorry. See, here I go, prolonging it again.
That was actually appropriate because this was a baking guest.
Okay. And that's the way the cookie crumbles and the onion peels.
We'll see you a couple weeks from now. Just a reminder, next week is a break week. We will be back with episode 31 the end of February, I believe. It's going to be very exciting times. Your face looks angry again. I'm going to just bypass this. In the meantime, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a review, like, rate, follow, all the things. We'll see you in a couple weeks.